Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Penn Holderness. Thank you so much for choosing to listen to the Holderness Family Podcast. Notice I just said thank you so much.
Because we're grateful.
That's what this show is all about.
Now, okay, stay with me here.
I'm staying with you.
Okay, I do feel like gratitude and practicing gratitude mm-hmm. has become a little bit of a buzzword. In fact,
you mean too much of a buzzword?
Too much of a buzzword that it almost seems a little vanilla. And I'm like, I get it. I'm thankful. But our guest today, we feel very calm right now because our guest today told us and has a theory that gratefulness is the new mindfulness. And let me tell you, the way he talked about practicing gratitude almost as a meditation in our conversations with our kids and about school and sports and all these things.
Yeah.
I really think I'm like today going to have things I'm going to be doing differently and thinking about differently that are going to help with my brand of anxiety.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing how this affects me as well. His name is Dr. Robert Emmons. We'll give you a proper introduction of him in just a second. He's got great books, and we'll talk about all that at the end. But to me, I was most fascinated, A, with his theories on gratitude and sports and performance, which we were in that season where our kids are playing sports, and we want them to be grateful for it. I also, like, we vibed because I was telling him about how sometimes I weaponize my gratitude in the same way that my dad did,
like,
right?
You should be so grateful for that.
It's just that when I was your age, right? Like, why are you not grateful for all of these advantages that you have in life? And he did have some great advice on a better way to approach that with your children.
And also just, people that acknowledge, you know, at the end of the day, gratitude is about acknowledging that life is a gift.
Yeah.
And that every day we are given an opportunity to use that gift. And just awareness of the things in life and how we depend on other people for it. Anyway, it's a great conversation. But before we get to that.
Yes, few housekeeping items. If you like our show, please subscribe and leave a review. It actually really helps us. And it means a lot to us. We would be very grateful. Here is a recent review from Halo Heather, who says, I've been listening to the Holderness Family Podcast for 2 years now, and it is my favorite of all the podcasts I listen to.
Aww.
Wow. I find Kim and Penn's humor really entertaining, and their honest life stories very relatable. They find excellent guests that always teach me something. I tune in to be entertained and leave having become a better, smarter person. What more could you want out of a podcast? Thank you, Kim and Penn. I am a better spouse, parent, and self because of your podcast.
Do we pay that person? Because
I'm trying to think. Halo Halo? Do we know a Heather who plays a lot of Halo?
I don't know, but that was really kind.
Yeah, and seriously.
Thank you. Also, a reminder, our game Family Face Off is out into the universe. You can search Amazon. You can search Family Face Off game. It should pop right up. Also, we have these like really a fun line of shirts and hats that are out right now in time for the holidays. So you can go to theholdernessfamily.com or shopholderness.com. That's all there. So now on to the show.
Robert Emmons, PhD, who said it's okay to call him Bob, it's funny because his name is Bob, but it's very fancy. He is the Professor Emeritus of Psychology at the University of California, Davis, where he has taught since 1988.
He is the author of over 250 original publications in peer-reviewed journals. Also has written Thanks, How Practicing Gratitude Can Make You Happier, Gratitude Works, a 21-day program for creating emotional prosperity, and The Little Book of Gratitude, which he shows us and Penn had a funny comment about.
A leader in the positive psychology movement, Dr. Emmons is founding editor and editor-in-chief of the Journal of Positive Psychology. His research focuses on the psychology of gratitude and joy as they relate to human flourishing and well-being. Welcome, Bob. I checked ahead of time. He says we can call him Bob. Bob, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Penn. Thank you, Kim. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're so excited to talk to you. And first, let me just back up for a second. We had a little talk pre-recording here, and you mentioned your fans of The Amazing Race, which I appreciate. And you appreciated the positivity. But here's the thing. I think people conflate positivity with gratitude. So I think you probably think, because we are very positive people, and we certainly were on that show, that like we are really good at gratitude. I think we have a lot to learn about gratitude, because positivity and gratitude are two different things, right?
Exactly. That's so true. You know, I think we all have a lot to learn when it comes to gratitude, because it doesn't always come easily or naturally to any of us, for that matter. But yeah, that's one of the beliefs people have about gratitude. It's just like positive thinking, you know, looking on the bright side. And there's a lot of ways in which we think gratitude is one thing, but in reality, it's something very different. So, you know, with gratitude, it just means, you know, you see the good, you realize other people are trying to help you out, you're sensitive to kindnesses. But gratitude also has a bent to it, too. It can be uncomfortable, you know, because then you realize you're indebted to the other person, that you have an obligation to give back the good you've received. So it's far from just this, you know, happy-ology or just dwelling on the good side of life.
Happy-ology.
I know. That. So you said happy-ology. In your bio, you talk about the science of gratitude. I am very curious, what is this? Why does gratitude need science? And what have you discovered through research about the science of gratitude?
Yeah, I mean, we've learned a lot, right? When I began my forays, my exploration to gratitude, we didn't know very much. I mean, this was 20 years ago, and there was like three studies. You know, one went back to 1920, one was in the 60s, and one was in the 70s, and it was virtually ignored. It was thought of as the forgotten factor when it comes to the science of happiness, well-being, thriving, flourishing, all of those things that we want for ourselves and for our kids. And I thought, I got to change the situation. You know, it seems to me that gratitude, thinking gratefully, has something to do with well-being, with happiness. If we focus on the benefits we've received, if we enter into this position where we say, okay, my life has some good things. I realize I didn't make those good things happen, but other people were being kind to me. Other forces outside of me were noting that I need these things and I receive those. And that's going to have a consequence on our minds and on our bodies. I said, well, let's do some research. You know, let's collect some data right away.
So brings me back. How do you even begin to like focus on that as your field of study? There's a lot of different things in psychology you could have focused on, but like why gratitude?
Right. So basically I was told to.
Really?
It was a homework assignment.
Okay.
Were you grateful?
It turned out I was. Yeah.
Good.
I learned that sometimes topics choose us. You're right. Usually we choose based on our interests or who we think we want to be. You know, I know people who study forgiveness because they're very like grudge holding. You know, I want to get better at being forgiving. I want to study that.
Yeah.
You know, I know people who are kind of like forgetful, absent-minded. So, of course, they study memory because they want to get better at that, you know. And maybe for me, gratitude never came that easily or naturally. And so I kind of, you know, resonated with that. But basically, I was told we don't know anything about gratitude, Dr. Emmons. We want you to become our gratitude guru. Come to the scientific conference. Tell us everything that we've learned about gratitude. And it turns out we hadn't learned anything, so I had to do research right away.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I've noticed something about myself personally, that when times are incredibly bleak, I become more grateful. Like, it's easier for me to find things to be grateful for in times of like incredible sadness. I think I saw it a lot. Like, my family's from, a lot of them still live in Florida. They actually fared well after Hurricane Ian, but we know enough people that lost everything. But those families that we talked to that lost everything, they were so grateful. They're like, we are so lucky to be here. And so is there science to suggest, like, the harder things get, the more grateful, it's easier to be grateful when the crap hits the fan?
I mean, there's these villages in Africa, I've heard stories that they're just like generally happier. He talked about the difference between gratitude and happiness. I'm sure you've found these examples in your research.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with personality, right? So some people just find it easier to find the benefits or find the opportunities, even in the face of loss or in the face of a catastrophe. And I had the same experience you guys did. When I talked to people, I was down in New Orleans, in Baton Rouge, after Hurricane Katrina. And I talked to so many people, came up to me and said, you know, I've never been so grateful in my life. And what I think it does, I think it makes us remember how much we take for granted. You know, so we become much more focused on the little gifts of everyday life, which are easy to overlook, easy to take those things for granted. And also it makes us remember how much we depend upon other people and you know, systems and larger supply chains and all of those things that we realize are very important to our survival. Those things they can just be in the background, you know, they can be invisible. But certain times those things come front and center, and become much more aware of how much we do rely and do depend upon other people doing things for us we couldn't do for ourselves. So I think that's part of the reason why adversity and brushes with catastrophe, you know, almost ironically, can lead to greater and deeper gratefulness.
You said take for granted, and I'm sitting here thinking about, I read some of your research and basically explaining that the opposite of gratitude is entitlement, hubris, like those sorts of things. Here's what I struggle with. I weaponize gratitude with my children. I have become old enough now where if I see my kids being entitled, I hit them with the, do you know what it was like back in my day? Like, even Kim, we were like getting ready for this, and Kim is like, are you going to bring up the dirt basketball skill?
I will say,
which I used to shoot on.
So our kids are very grateful and aware.
I think they are in general.
In general, they are very grateful and aware. I think they acknowledge the privilege they have, all of that. But our son, let me set this up. We have a basketball hoop, goal, whatever it is, in the driveway. And we have a concrete driveway. So he has like a little pad area. We have to pull our cars back, but he has like a little pad area where he can play basketball. And he does it. He loves it. He enjoys it. But not like every single day. He's 12, almost 13. He would prefer to play video games. So Penn gives the speech.
Well, he's got basketball tryouts going on, and I'll see him like go out in like flip flops, and he'll go out for 5 minutes. He'll be like, "I'm done." And I'm just like, "Do you realize I was outside because I did not have concrete? I had a dirt backyard. It was a grass backyard, but I pounded the ball enough that it turned into dirt. It was an old beat down goal, and I was out there for 3 hours
every day.
I liked it, and I was happy with it
in the snow.
And so, like, yeah, I feel
sure he was super impressed, right?
Yes,
they just look at me like I'm crazy, and my dad did the same thing to me, and I didn't love it. But is there a better way to teach our kids gratitude than back in my day?
How old are your kids, by the way?
I've got a 12-year-old and I've got a 15-year-old.
Okay, so both boys?
Yeah, our oldest is a girl.
Okay, all right. So that's they're moving into the period where it gets more and more difficult.
Oh.
Right, because they're trying to establish independence, right? Okay. And gratitude is largely about establishing dependence or at least interdependence, right? But so that's interesting you mentioned entitlement, because years ago there was a survey and it asked parents, like, when it comes to your kid's future, what do you most fear? Like, what keeps you up at night? You know, is it they'll get sick? There'll be an accident? Is, you know, nuclear war? Is that, you know, planetary catastrophe, you know, moving back home after college, right? Mm-hmm. What's your biggest fear? And the biggest fear that parents said was they would grow up with a sense of entitlement. It's bigger than anything else, you know? And then, you know, they were asked, where do you think this fear comes from? Is it from, you know, advertising? Is it from social media? No, they said it comes from us. Like, they knew, the parents knew that they were the root cause of why their kids, why they feared entitlement. So
is that because
it's quite natural.
Is it because we work so hard to try to make things better for them, and then it gets to that point and you're like, oh no, what's happened? You're saying
it could be just kind of the way our mind naturally works. It tends to gravitate toward things which are going wrong or things which we are lacking. You know, there's a negativity bias in the brain, which tends to focus on the bad stuff. Why complaint is so stronger than compliment, why pain is stronger than pleasure, and all that. And I think that maybe that's a reflection of it. But we have all these obstacles, and entitlement is one of those that has to be confronted. What happens is that I think sometimes if you go with gratitude indirectly, that's the best way. You know, nobody wants to hear that I should be grateful, right? That this obligation part to it, and it that actually backfires, right? So that makes a person feel more guilt when they don't feel gratitude. And when they do feel gratitude, it's to please someone else. In neither case are you, you know, inculcating a deep way of being in the world, which is what you want with gratefulness. So I like to think about, you know, how can we go at this indirectly? And, you know, I understand that. I'm with you guys. I have two kids, and they're 21 and 25. And the 21-year-old always was very grateful, always was very thankful. His older brother, you know, less so. But I think there are things we can do that, I mean, for example, I don't know how much time your kids spend outdoors. And, you know, I'm not a Luddite, which says we need to get rid of technology. But, you know, when I hear kids say, I like to play indoors because that's where all the electrical outlets are,
right,
you start thinking, you know, what about activities outdoors or things like, you know, building something, right, which teaches you where things come from, and then you appreciate them more. I'm not very handy. I'm a professor, right? My toolbox is my computer, right? But I think that teaches kids something. I know that people, they'll swear by, you know, growing a garden, planting a garden. You know, I think, wow, what's that got to do with gratitude? Well, it's got a lot to do with it. Then you learn where food comes from. You know, we're kind of divorced from the real world, the natural world. You know, we think food comes from the supermarket, right? And that, you know, you grow things and you realize the effort that goes into those. It teaches you, you know, the origins of things, which is really what gratitude is about. And then the last one I like to think about is holidays, just really celebrating holidays as a family. I mean, today is Veterans Day, right? I mean, Veterans Day is all about gratitude to those who have protected our way of life. I mean, every holiday, not just Thanksgiving, really is an occasion for gratitude. The obvious ones like Mother's Day and Father's Day, but others as well. 4th of July, celebrate independence and freedom. It's like, so if you have family routines and rituals, which really, you know, acknowledge the value of these, why do we celebrate? Why do we acknowledge those who made special contributions, sacrifices? I think these are really good ways to get at gratitude without having the, you know, heavy-handed message about you ought to be grateful because kids in Africa are starving, so eat all your food, all those sorts of things that we know
we were
don't
told
really
growing up, yeah.
Yes.
We're coming right back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
There's a through line in the conversation we've had so far, and in every time you've spoken on depending on other people,
yeah,
and acknowledging what other, and just being grateful for what other people are doing for you. I don't know if it's just me or if it's a middle-aged mom kind of, my wires are flipped. I have real trouble depending on people. I'm not quick to ask for help.
Right.
And so I think my gratitude deficit, I am very thankful. I'm very thankful for everything I have, but it's not an instinct to do that. And I think, do you think part of that is coming from the fact that it's so hard for me to acknowledge and receive help?
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, it's the human tendency and our human nature is to become, you know, more self-reliant, mm-hmm. To become more autonomous, right? So, and we know we've done things, we you know, have had success in our lives because of our own efforts, right? But I think if we look soberly and accurately and truthfully at things, you know, who we are today is made up of a lot of different causes in our past. Our ancestors, teachers, mentors, spouses, right? Role models, other people who have contributed. So we still take credit for our success. We know it's due to our efforts and hard work and maybe a little bit of luck and other factors like that. But we can acknowledge many sources, many reasons why we are who we are today. And so, and that's what really gratitude is. That's what the most grateful people do. They, you know, they don't say, I'm going to be just dependent. I'm going to wait for other people, you know, to help me. It's not that kind of thing. It's just an acknowledgement. It's more of an interdependence. You know, so you realize, though, with your gifts and your talents, you can give back the good you've received. Mm-hmm. And so that's another part of the equation of gratitude. It's not just receiving the good, but also wanting to make a difference, wanting to become more, you know, giving out of one's own goodness.
Okay, so one of the reasons I think you're mentioning dependence is that you've mentioned, and I think this is important just to clarify, gratitude isn't just about saying thank you. There are acts right. that are involved in that, correct? Right.
That's right. I mean, there's the behavior for sure. It's an expression, but it's a deeper awareness, you know. So I like to think about gratitude really as a recognition that life is full of benefits, goods. Life is good. I mean, you could just start with the basic that life is a gift. And many people, you know, believe that they go through life seeing their life as a gift and everything in it as gifts. And that's a beautiful way to be if you can, you know, maintain that. The question becomes, you know, what do we do with that gift? And do we treasure that gift? Do we protect and preserve that gift, whether it's our health, you know, our family, what we've been given, and so on. So that's the key, right? It's an awareness, and it's also just affirming that there are good things in life. So I think of gratitude as just, you know, living in this position of in posture of saying yes to life, a way of being in the world that doesn't ignore the bad, it doesn't ignore suffering or trials or catastrophes or the inevitability of stress and loss and so forth. But it's, you know, choosing to find the opportunity, even though we might be in the midst of a very difficult situation.
Why does it matter that we are grateful and wake up with a grateful heart and practice gratitude?
Yeah, wake up, right? So I'm glad you mentioned that because there's been people down through the years that have been like my role models or just exemplars of gratitude. And what they all have in common, they wake up, they get out of bed and they're grateful, you know, even before they have coffee. I don't know how they do it, but somehow they managed to pull that off. You know, I knew this man, he was 94 years old and he woke up every day and he said, wow, maybe that's what you say when you're 94 and you wake up. I don't know. Wow. Cause you might not. Right. He said, I've been given another day in which to be useful. He said, how can I be useful today? Mm. You know, the Dalai Lama himself, His Holiness the Dalai Lama says something like that. You know, every day he wakes up and he says, you know, my life is a gift. I'm not going to waste it today. So they begin with that framework or that position right from the start. Right. And then that just informs their day from there. So, you know, having that kind of optimistic view right from the beginning, you start to see more benefits. It puts you in a good framework, I think. For the rest of the day.
I'm going to tell you a story about a fight we once had. Because that's a, yes. that's a lot. We wrote a book on this, so we're very open about this. And I think what it's going
to... We wrote a book on fighting, not on gratitude, to be clear.
Right. Okay. I think this is going to show you that I think I can be positive and then forget about the gratitude side of it. I think we sort of started out with that.
Yeah.
So I went to Switzerland for 4 days with my friends. I had an awesome time. I got back and I got like right back to work, and we'd had some drinks and I wasn't feeling great, but I took the kids. I got back to doing stuff. I was trying to be cheerful and wonderful and friendly with my wife. I told her stories. I asked about her week. I was trying to be like
for 5 days, by the
way. Was it five?
Yes.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You were 100% right. So I was. So she counted the days.
Yeah.
There were 5 days. That can be a lot when you have children, especially if they're getting all around school. And so we ended up getting into a fight because she said, "You never once said thank you for doing this for the kids." And I was like, "Yes, I did. I came back and everything, and somehow I thanked her in my head."
Yes.
But I didn't say it out loud. And I know now that that's like a massive mistake. I thought that like just getting back into the flow of things was a good enough like way to show like that was my act of service. Like, I appreciate what you're doing. I got this from here. But I never actually said thank you.
We crave recognition, right? We crave appreciation, and we can't recognize ourselves. You know, we can't really be grateful to ourselves. No one's ever written a thank you note to themselves, right?
Yeah.
We need to hear that from other people. And I think maybe, you know, us guys have more trouble with that because, you know, I've heard the same thing from my wife, and I know that they need to not only hear it, but be very specific about what I've done. Are you grateful for, you know, acknowledging the sacrifice and all the efforts that a person has made? And if you just say, you know, I'm grateful for you, like I did one time, I went home. I thought, you know, so here I am, this supposed to be this gratitude expert, and I could, you know, benefit from a little bit more expressions of gratitude. So I go home and say to my wife, you know, I am so grateful for you. And like, she looked at me like I was from Mars. You know, like what does that mean? You know, it didn't have any credibility to, right, you know. So specifically, you know, why am I grateful to you? So the truth is in the details, especially when it comes to expressing it, right? Because if you feel grateful and don't express it, it's like, you know, buying a present for someone and wrapping it up, but never giving it to them, right? It does them absolutely no good.
By the way, Kim won that fight. I want to make sure this is clear.
No, winners and losers, but I did win.
I believe that I won because I learned more. The person who learns something can really be the winner, and I'm grateful that I learned that. But go ahead, babe.
No, exactly.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I feel like gratitude and practicing gratitude has become this buzzword and buzz phrase almost.
Yeah.
But I don't really know how. I'm an Enneagram type one, I've been told, although I resist it.
So Which is why you're a type one.
I like a rule. I want a rule to follow. I want a script to follow. Mm-hmm. I want you to tell me exactly what to do. And it's funny because in the beginning of the pandemic, when we were home, we were all like, everybody's a little afraid, right? Like everybody's like, what's going on? So I thought, okay, we're going to start this family journal. And every day at dinner, we're going to pass it around and we're going to document. We're going to talk about this is what I'm thankful for. Like I'm thankful, the dog and we're healthy. Like, but it got very monotonous and we abandoned it after like a week. And I thought it was going to be like this time capsule, but I opened it up the other day and there was like 1 week of words in there.
Not so much.
Not so much. So how do you actually practice tell me it. Exactly what to do and how to practice this?
Well, you know, Ken, there's so many people like you who say, you know, give me a to-do list. Give me a checklist.
Yes.
I want the top five, the 10 ways to guarantee, you know, my best life now or a grateful life. Because, you know, and we like that because it gives a sense of control. Right. If I do these things, I will get this outcome.
Yes.
Right. If I do these five things, I will be grateful. I will be happy. Whatever. The problem is, though, and that might work for a while, but it could be just like your family ritual there, is that the effects would, you know, you would experience fatigue. You'd burn out really, really quickly. Right. And so I say, you know, whatever routine you choose, whatever habit, whatever practice or strategy, it's got to be integrated into your daily life. It can't be something that's added on, you know, tacked on, because we all have busy lives. And, you know, I've written about a to-do list or checklist gratitude. It's like one more thing. So it's like, whew, you check that off and you do gratitude list or journal, whatever. And then maybe feel a sense of relief. You know, I got this out of the way. I can go on to the next thing. And then if you don't do it, you feel guilty. It's like, oh man, I was so bad. I didn't do this gratitude list. And it's such an easy thing to do. You know, such a terrible person. And so either way, you know, one's relief, one is guilt. In either case, you feel grateful. So I say, what can you do in your daily life that it really is, you know, kind of organically driven. It's integrated into what you're doing already, you know. And so, you know, people do different little things. And myself, I don't do a journal at all, right? Mm. And people say, oh, what? You're this gratitude, you know, expert. I say, to say I have a gratitude practice is like to say I have a breathing practice. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Involuntary.
I just like to think in terms of, you know, benefits, gifts. I say, you know, what a gift this is to be talking to you guys, you know, by this technology, you know, on the other side of the country, right? I can share about gratitude. You guys have a platform to share about gratitude. And how awesome. And that's just one example, right? So every day we have, you know, dozens of these little tiny, you know, things we could just see as gifts. And I think using the language of being a recipient, being a receiver of gifts, being fortunate, being, privilege, and people, they traffic in the language of thankfulness. Mm-hmm. They say, you know, today I get to do these things. They don't say I have to do these things. They don't say I have to go to work. Mm-hmm. I have to, you know, help my kids with the homework. I have to walk the dog. I get to do these things. Yeah. Tiny little phrasing change like that makes all the difference.
Why, as a scientist, why scientifically do we sometimes have a deficit in showing gratitude to our immediate family, our wives, our children, and our loved ones when it's easy to be grateful and friendly and positive to those who you've just met?
Yeah, that is a great question. And I think some of it has to do with what the scientists say, and I don't understand all the arguments, but it's like the evolutionary origins of gratitude was to connect us and to build relationships outside of our immediate domain, mm-hmm. right? So friendships, who could we count on? What alliances can we build? That sort of thing. And then less need to do that in our, you know, biologically, you know, closer knit families. So, and some of it is because, you know, maybe we assume they already know that we're grateful and all those sorts of things. But as we have shared together with each other, we know that's not always the case. Mm-hmm. So I think it has to do with the gratitude's original purpose was to establish and help people find relationships they could count on, people that could support them, that they could support outside of our immediate familial situation. I think that's a big part of it. And so that's why it's just so important to consciously have to do things to show authentic gratitude, to show genuine gratitude in situations where we can become very skeptical. You know, why are you saying this or why are you doing this? And you know, we just know the other person so well. We know their motives so well. And so when we are very specific, like I mentioned before, the truth is in the details, right? Then they know that we are actually paying attention and we are recognizing and affirming the various ways in which they're making our lives better for us.
So you said you watched The Amazing Race, and as contestants on The Amazing Race, you know, I could zoom out and be like, it's a game show. We're so lucky. We have a life beyond this, you know. But I deal with anxiety, and so it basically is just anxiety soup, right? It's like all the things that an anxious person is not going to. You're not set up for success because you don't know what you're doing. You don't know where you're going. Right. There's so many questions. There's so nothing you can control. I did try, and you can see it in my little journals that I kept. I'd be like, mm-hmm. I am so lucky. So many people would love to do this. I'm so lucky we were chosen for this. I'm so, so thankful to have a good partner and a good husband in this process. But I still was so anxious about it. Do you feel like gratitude is the answer to anxiety or could help, you know, assuage it in some way? And not just on The Amazing Race, not just on a game show, but just in real life.
I mean, we know situations which cause us a lot of anxiety and apprehension are ones where if a person can calm themselves down in various ways, you know, through mindfulness or through, I think gratefulness really is the new mindfulness because it does have that ability to focus our minds for a bit. We know that athletes who are more successful are more grateful. We know that teams that have gratitude rituals in their practices or before their game or during their game, they're more successful. We know students who are grateful have less test anxiety. Mm. So in a lot of different domains, gratitude does improve performance. I think by turning down the volume on the anxiety. I mean, just think about it. If you just think about a person or a reason for your gratitude right now, you know, it could be being in nature. It could be, you know, someone who was kind to you yesterday, a stranger, whoever, an acquaintance. And you just dwell in that for a moment. Just meditate on that. You feel sustained, supported, recognized, you know, affirmed, there's a peacefulness which comes with that, right? There's a calmness which comes from that recognition that, you know, my life is all right right now, right? It's not perfect. You know, there are some things I would like to change, but, you know, by and large, it's pretty good right now. And that makes you feel calm, but also I think energized at the same time, right? To do well, to go out and to strive and to accomplish and to give your best effort. And that's what, you know, the data show when we look at people in different domains, from the workplace to at home to on the athletic, you know, field, in the classroom. Gratitude seems to work in all these different domains. And I think large part of it is because it does, in fact, turn down the volume on negativity, anxiety, stress, depression, all those bad things which make it hard to perform.
So let me ask you this question, Kim. As someone who deals with anxiety, do you think that practicing gratitude will help stave it off, or do you think it'll help you weather it when it comes? Or both?
Ooh, that's a good question. So
sometimes anxiety doesn't care about anything. It shows
up. And I think it would help stave it off, I will say that when I used to swim more, and we used to do triathlon, and then before like the Amazing Race, we did some more swimming. And it's so boring for me because I'm not like a good, I'm fine at it.
You're a good swimmer.
I'm fine. I did beat Penn in races, which is funny because he's like a foot taller than me.
I can't go in a straight line and I kick backwards. We'll talk about that.
Yeah,
later.
It's different.
Yes. My feet kick me backwards.
Yes, it's actually like science should study him. But every lap, I would pick a person to just focus on, and I would just imagine that person, and I would, you know, just out of gratefulness, but just say like a little, I wouldn't even call it a prayer, but like kind of meditate about that person. And the sense of, I really looked forward to my swimming workouts, because again, I wasn't breaking records here, so I wasn't like, you know, doing sprints or anything like that. Because first of all, I wasn't around technology because I was in the water, and I was focusing. I came out so much more calm. And so I think I do practice meditation, and I'm using air quotes practice because it is a practice. I'm not very good at it. But I think what you just said, like gratitude is the new mindfulness, that I think if I could work in that same swimming practice, but work it into more of a meditation, I feel instantly calm thinking about it. Just even we were in Milwaukee yesterday with a friend doing some videos and some videos people will see soon. So grateful for that experience. But also we ran into such nice people in the airport that I didn't even get everybody's name, but we ran into such kind people in the airport, and like what kindness they showed us. And like they're just thinking about that is such a, like it kind of lowers my blood pressure a little bit.
Yes.
So an anxious time, but I do think it is hard for me, to your question of like when a panic attack comes, it is hard for me to grab for that because I'm literally like drowning, and it seems too far, like the edge seems too far away. So I think that's where like the practice probably comes, I would imagine.
I mean, there is the reality of, you know, anxiety disorders or other conditions that have a biological, you know, origin, right? And so you're always going against that. And sometimes, you know, fears are very realistic. I mean, the kind of things that you guys are asked to do on that show, like when you're the heights, we can't even watch my wife's, you know, afraid of heights. And so we can't even watch you guys do those sorts of things, right? Let alone imagine what it's like in those situations.
It
and that's
terrible.
The reality because, it's terrifying, right? And I think no amount of meditation or gratefulness is going to pull you through that. Now, that's to say it might be better, you know, if you had gratefulness or mindfulness, but by itself is not always going to be enough to reverse or switch that state because there is that reality. So there's limits, you know. No matter how much I say the gratitude works, it's a good thing. It heals, energizes, you know, changes lives. The fact of the matter is it's not going to cure cancer. It's not going to reverse the aging process. You know, it's not going to take a person who is, you know, suicidal all of a sudden, hey, I got so much to be grateful for, right? Flip the switch like that. But we know with a sustained practice, it can make significant differences. And, you know, I think we all have examples of that. We all experience that in our daily lives.
Thank you for acknowledging that, by the way, because I think sometimes I
showing gratitude.
Well, I am showing gratitude because I think so much, like there's this like toxic positivity movement, which is like, if you think happy thoughts, you know, like when The Secret came out, my aunt was 50 and diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer. And, you know, and they had examples like, well, this person was diagnosed with cancer and they just thought happened. They watched happy movies and they were fine. And I was like, wanted to give the middle finger to the screen. I'm like, no, that doesn't work for everybody. So gratitude is an amazing practice, but it's so much more is needed to be
done. It doesn't work, right? All that does is make, you know, all it does is lead to guilt when you say, well, I had cancer, or this happened, or that happened, even though I did all the right things, I had the right thoughts, the right feelings. So what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. You know, so in so many ways, you know, that's just, you know, we know that it's not going to work. You know, we know the evidence shows it doesn't work. Now, not to say there's not some benefits, but the fact of the matter is, you know, our bodies, you know, have minds of their own. They break down quite apart what our mind is doing. Mm-hmm.
I was never good at secreting.
He called it The Secret because I turned it on. He's like, what are you doing? I'm watching The Secret. He's like, what are you secreting? Anyway, and it's a joke.
I like that.
Yeah, I was never good at secreting. So you've many times said research, studies. I don't want to, like, I'm not going to have you pull out your bibliography, but I, like, a minute ago, you said studies have shown that athletes that practice gratitude are better. Like, what kind of data, like, how do you research that?
Yes. Yeah, so there are people actually make a living, they're called sports psychologists, which I was thought, that's cool. That's what I wanted to be. Like, maybe I should be that in my next life, you know, because I love sports, you know, especially professional college sports. But then the psychology aspects of it are really cool, too. So, like, you know, I've been asked to speak to, like, different teams here on my campus at UC Davis, a basketball team, for example, about the power of gratitude. Just as something which can, you know, enhance performance, not just performance, but just, you know, a way of being in life, which we know is beneficial in so many ways. So, but the people do the actual real rigorous research, they'll actually do, you know, randomized controlled trials. Well, they'll take, you know, one team or one group of athletes and have them, you know, visualize gratefulness or engage in some reflective exercise, write a gratitude letter to someone, a mentor or a coach or a teacher, a parent, whoever. And so they can really, you know, dwell in that state of gratitude for some time. And then you have other people do something else, you know, write a letter about someone, you know, just being kind to you, or write about something very, very neutral, right? Not very emotional at all. And they can make comparisons in, like, performance levels.
Then you put them in a ring and make them beat the crap out of each other and see which one wins
it. Just like that, right? Yeah,
no, I didn't realize they were controlled tests. That's really cool.
Well, I will say.
Oh, yeah. That's what the first research I did was, a controlled trial, because that's the gold standard of research, you know, and I wanted to, you know, get some points on the board early, as they said, use a sports analogy.
I will say, though, that makes so much more sense to me, as I've heard, you know, I use this meditation app, and I think some athletes, like LeBron James, has, like, a series on there, and he talked about how, like, he visualizes winning the game, and he visualizes what success feels like. There's value in that. I totally think there's value in that. But if you're on, especially on a team, like, I'll never experience, you know, sports success like that, but I'm telling my kids who are 12 and 15 and playing school sports, to just imagine success is not incredibly realistic.
No, that's like secreting.
Right.
Yeah, that's not, it's not always realistic. I think it's like, it's a little bit of that, like just think happy thoughts and you'll get it. But to express, to have some gratitude around it is a different feeling entirely.
I mean, in most sports, you're unsuccessful most of the time.
Right.
I mean, if you're a baseball player, you're a hitter. If you're successful 30% of the time, you know, you'd be in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
That, you know, that kind of thing. Right. So, you know, and the problem is, what I found with athletes is sometimes they focus not so much on winning, but on not losing.
Michael Jordan.
Okay. And so that just ratchets up your anxiety, because then you focus on things not going wrong. And so when they start to go wrong, as they inevitably will, do you guys play golf at all?
Yes.
By the way?
I do.
Okay,
not.
So you know, 10,000 things can go wrong, right, with your swing. Only one thing can go right, right? If you just tweak something, you know, it's a disaster. So if we focus on, you know, not hitting a bad shot or not getting a big score on a hole, you know, it's totally the wrong approach, right? Because then inevitably that sort of thing happens. So, I think it's, you know, focusing on not expecting success, but I mean, the realization that just grateful to be there out there on the golf course that moment, quite apart from the outcome, you know, quite apart from your performance and how you do, that's the gift. Right now, of course, I feel better about it when I play, you know, when I play better. I get home and I'm, you know, a little grumpy, and my wife says, you're supposed to be having fun out there. Well, of course you have more fun when you're doing well. We know that's the case, but there's ways we can frame and reframe the situation to extract the maximum benefit out of it, and gratitude helps us do that.
I think that is something that we need to probably have a conversation with our kids about. I mean, we talk about, we do talk about gratitude. So our daughter's a tennis player. And yeah.
I've not known the language though. I mean, like,
yeah, what are we saying?
Coco Gauff's dad, Corey Gauff. I love Coco Gauff. I want to pattern everything I do after her. But she was 15 and she made this big splash in Wimbledon. They interviewed her parents and I'll never forget the first thing he said. Like, how is your daughter successful? He says, through discipline and gratitude. And I'm like, yes. But I'm glad we're doing this deep dive because I don't know the language.
Yeah. So like what, so I thought it would be that what he was probably teaching his daughter was like, look how, you know, lucky you are to be, but that's not it at all.
Yeah, the like, no. Look at my heart, look at my dirt court that I grew up on. That's not right.
No, that's not right at all. But so what is some of the language we can be using with our kids around youth sports specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I think of some of the professional athletes who are really grateful and successful. And you mentioned one, you know, Russell Wilson of the Seattle, you know, mm-hmm. well, formerly Seattle, I guess Denver now, right? I mean, I always thought of him as like, you know, the paragon of gratefulness, a professional athlete, because his gratefulness was never based on what the outcome was. You know, when they lost the Super Bowl in that, you know, gut-wrenching fashion a few years ago, yeah, he was tweeting about how grateful he was, you know, the next day and so forth, just for the opportunity to compete, the opportunity to be there, right? The opportunity to have an opponent that we can, you know, that brings out the best in us, right? And so the gratitude is just for the activity, the opportunity, you know, I think quite apart from the outcome. If we can work on separating those out, I think that would be a really good gift, you know, to give, you know, our kids who are in these situations. And I coached Lily for 10 years, you know, I try to do that. It's not easy because it's, you know, it's ingrained in us, the notion that, you know, if we do certain things will happen based upon our efforts or our abilities or whatever. And so, and that's how we keep score in life, right? The extent to which someone appreciates us or, you know, admires us or benefits us is based on our performance. You know, there's winners and there's losers, and that puts extra, you know, a lot of pressure on a person to do well, because then their whole identity is shaped by the outcome of the situation. Right. So, and so the extent to which we can give people unconditional support, love, admiration, right, affection, and realize they're not going to lose that from us, regardless of whether they win or lose, you know, on the tennis court or on the athletic field. I think that's the biggest message. And that's nothing new, you know, in having that insight, but I just experienced it that in my own life with my own kids and the kids that I taught and coached as well.
Yeah, I think that that's, I mean, because let's face it, it's very rare for a person to go to college and play a sport, much less become a professional athlete. So just having gratitude about the ability to make a team and to be able to practice a sport and to be outside in nature. And I love what you said about having an opponent who brings out the best in us. So even if you have this, if you're on the losing side that day, you were lucky enough to have an opponent that brought out the best in you. I think that's really great language. And as somebody who likes a list and likes a script, that was very helpful. So thank you.
And we can make a list of things which have not yet happened, but may in the future. I call that actually prospective gratitude.
Oh,
or like
tell me.
Forecasting your gratitude. So this happened at the beginning of the pandemic. You know, people were asking me, I'm not sure exactly why, like, so Dr. Emmons, what can people do to become, you know, more grateful during these, you know, dark days and so forth? And I was struggling myself, you know, I wasn't finding a whole lot, you know, to be grateful for. And I said, well, even though you might not be able to right now, think, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now, whenever it's going to be that, you know, life gets back to normal, you get back to work, you can meet with your friends, your family, travel, again, all those things, and like mentally transport yourself there. And be grateful now for what you do not yet have, but can imagine having in the future. Mm. And people found that was very powerful. They found some healing in that. So I think of this as kind of future directed. So gratitude has a long arc. You know, we think about it just about the past, someone helping us, or right now being content and so forth. But I think it really extends into the future as well. And maybe that's what gives it some of its power.
And I think that I tend to look into the future and get anxious. So looking into the future and trying to...
Yeah, does that seem unnatural to you?
It literally, this is a muscle that I'm going to have to work. Yeah. But I'm very thankful that we've had this conversation because it's giving me some new tools.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
Has anyone ever not ended a podcast saying, hey, we're grateful for you, Bob? I'm trying to think.
No, that's a given.
I'm trying to think of like a creative way to not do that, because I'm sure everyone, because it's just, first of all, we're very grateful for you, but I'd like to end this podcast with ways that I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah, good. Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah, I love that.
Got nothing.
The earbud audio quality is okay.
It's
good.
Great.
It's good. Your hair's perfect.
I know. The lighting's great.
I like the goatee. I'm trying to think. You know what? The filing cabinet's a little old.
You don't have a filing cabinet.
It is very old.
Yeah, he does. There's one over his right shoulder. That is an old filing cabinet.
Okay, see, my vision is so bad. I was just seeing the beautiful.
If I was at home, it would be not much nicer at home, but it's much quieter here. So.
It's really hard to end this podcast with ways I'm in such like a good, positive like mood right now. I don't know why I just messed it up except just to throw a thorn. No, we really are grateful for all that information, man. This is really useful. And I mean, the whole anxiety element is fantastic to hear about. And trying to like, you know, positively be grateful for the future. That's great. We've got some language for our kids now. Mm-hmm. We learned about the science of it. That was really cool. What was you highlighted something I want to say it again. Oh yeah. Life is a gift, and what we do with it and what we do with that gift. I love that.
Yes.
Is there any, I mean, besides the books that we mentioned before, and we can link those in show notes, is there anything else you're doing you want to let people know about?
I mean, that would be great. You know, the little book of gratitude is my most recent one. And that's beautiful because first, it's small.
Yeah.
I happen to have it right here, right? So I don't know if you've seen it, but you know, it's like you could read it in 20 minutes, but you keep going back to it. It's all full of techniques. It's all full of actionables, you know, how to actually practice gratitude. And it's full of beautiful illustrations that the publisher did to go along with, you know, some of the insights that I provided. So, you know, I got a bunch of books like that. And I think it's just, we just need to remind ourselves, right? Because it doesn't come easily or naturally. You know, we forget that we can make a choice, right? Every day, every moment, we can make a choice. Do I view this as an opportunity for gratitude, or do I view it as an opportunity to be forgetful or to be, you know, ingrate, you know, to be ungrateful? And so I think just realizing that this empowers us by having this choice to choose to see the situation in our lives in any way we want to. And, you know, the outside world, can we count on it? Not always, right? But we can count on our inside world, right? We can choose to view a situation in a lot of different ways. And I think gratefulness is a really good way to do that because it's realistic. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't ignore the negative. It doesn't ignore suffering and stress and trials and catastrophes and all the stuff of life. But it gives us a way through those. It gives us a way in which, as you mentioned, with the hurricane, people actually come out on the other side more grateful, and it deepens their appreciation for life. So I think gratitude is the best approach to life. And I'm lucky to be studying this for, you know, 20 years, and hopefully I got another 20 years or so, because there's a lot of work left to be done, and we need a lot of gratitude, a lot more than we have right now in the world. So I thank you guys for your sharing and your, you know, we need folks like you who have audiences, who have platforms, because I'm just one person, you know, a scientist. We have a little tiny audience. We can't reach as many people, but we know people are scientifically hungry for the data, but also spiritually impoverished too. And people want practices and things which connect them upward and outward into larger units than themselves.
Again, the name of the book is The Little Gift, the Little Book of Gratitude. Is that
little
correct?
Little Book of Gratitude.
He just held it up. It looks like the perfect size book for one certain place in my house not going to say out loud, but Bob knows
what
I'm talking
about. That's where a lot of people have it.
Bob knows what I'm talking about.
Are you talking about the bathroom?
Yes, Bob knows what I'm talking about.
No, but also there's other books we're going to talk about too. I went because the holidays are coming. I'm like, a stocking stuffer. It's the perfect stocking
Absolutely.
Stuffer.
You know, get 10 or 20 for friends and family.
Exactly. Exactly.
One for each bathroom. Bob liked that one.
Ben can find a way to wrap up the podcast. But we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.